Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Blacktown Moving has changed the movement in the city of Memphis. When you're moving, you're not just moving things, you're moving pieces of your life. They certainly understand that at Black Tie. That's how they're going to treat your stuff, like it's their stuff. They're going to show up on time, they're going to stay on budget, and they're going to make sure that you get that move done professionally and quickly. But you got to get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. I've used them twice. I'll use them three times if I need to. Blacktown Moving, they're changing moving in the city of Memphis. Call today. We have not talked about the NFL, and we probably should, because maybe, just maybe, we got a little bit of a lesson last night in the NFL about one or maybe both teams. But last night, Lions beat the Ravens in Baltimore, 38-30. They're down 21-14, and they storm back and get this win thanks to a Derrick Henry fumble. They're late again on his own side of the field, exactly what happened against Buffalo.
Yep.
And just Jared Goff and that run game were relentless. David Montgomery, 151 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs had 67 yards, two touchdowns. And Baltimore now, Jason, is below 500, three games in to the season. And I'm just going to sort of frame the question to you like this. Was last night, did it say more about Detroit or did it say more about the Ravens?
I think it said more about Detroit, and I would propose it to you this way. Ravens in the AFC, while defensively they've got some issues, that was the case for them last year, and they got it cleaned up. A lot of that was in the secondary. They've still got some dudes on that side. I just think it's fixable, and I think in a way the Lions were still feeding off of this. You've written us off. I know, you know, they bounce back against the Bears, but to do it against the Ravens, I just think there was still some of that. They don't believe us. They think we've taken a step back. Exactly what Dan Campbell's, you know, post game speech was after the Bears. They forgot who we were in the Ben Johnson payback game. They're still feeding off of that. And my point is I think it's more Detroit because I didn't think they were capable. I knew from a motivational standpoint, sure, they want to prove they're still, you know, one of the teams to beat in the NFC, if not they believe the team to beat. But to be so physical, to get Lamar on the ground as many times as they did, my good, they backed it up with their play.
Yep.
And especially on that defensive side in a way that I wasn't expecting it. So I think it says to me, and especially after writing them off after week one, so, oh, this is definite step back after that loss to Green Bay for this Lions team this year, I think it says more about them because I think Baltimore can recover.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Although, again, Arrowhead this week,
it's true.
I mean, that's tough. You're staring down 1-3.
You would still say, without a doubt, unequivocally, they are still the best team in the AFC North.
Yeah.
Even looking up at Pittsburgh at 2-1, easily, right? Yep, I mean, yep. Pittsburgh's shaky 2-1.
No question. I mean, this is all going to bear out over the course of a 17 game season. I mean, you're talking about, you know, two games here with the Bills and Lions, where you're killing the Bills in Baltimore, or excuse me, in Buffalo, and a couple of mistakes, and you lose a game you were 99.9% chance to win. And then last night, you know, just was weird energy from them from the beginning. They let them come down, march down the field in the first drive of the game. Kansas City's looming next week.
Yeah.
I worried about that. And one last point on the Ravens. They're down two Pro Bowlers defensively. They're down Matabuke, and they're down Van Noy. That's two big losses to overcome against a Detroit offense. All right?
Absolutely.
So I think that needs to be said. But I also think there is a chance that we way underrated the Detroit Lions coming into this year. That we said, all right, no Ben Johnson, no Aaron Glenn.
Oh, I'm holding my hand up.
Yeah.
I said it after guilty. Week one. Yeah. It wasn't just coming into the season.
Exactly. And now they beat the hell out of the Bears, and then they just beat the Ravens in Baltimore.
A much more relevant and contending team than those Bears.
Yes.
So I think, again, another sort of affirmation that this Lions team, although they're still dangerous.
Yeah, they very much are. And, you know, look, that schedule that we said was the toughest in the NFL to start, it's softening up because the Chiefs don't look great. The Bengals lost Joe Burrow. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for these Lions to win games. And, you know, I don't know if they're the best team in the NFL, but I think we probably I didn't have them top five in my power rankings, you know, and I have to have them top five.
Well, it looks like Aiden Hutchinson's just getting more and more comfortable, too. You see,
yeah.
He's creating havoc. He's getting Lamar down. I think he had the forced fumble on Derrick Henry. I think that was him knocking it out of his hand. So, you know, when you've got somebody that's getting back into his, you know, he's getting back into his bag as one of the best, you know, rushers in the game.
Yep.
And you're coming off of an injury. You don't know if you're going to be the same. He seems to be. That's helping that defense. That was so. I mean, dude, they were everywhere. Like, between him and Anzalone, they're everywhere.
Dan Campbell was a hell of a coach.
Muhammad, who was a backup, he's chasing down Lamar.
Davenport,
the big defensive end,
the backup to Davenport, is on the IR.
Yeah. Backup.
Yeah,
they got dudes, man.
Yeah, Dan Campbell is a great NFL coach.
What he's done with those lines, how physical they are, it's just like you can take Ben Johnson can call up all the X and O's, draw it up, pull up, and everything else. What you can't take away is Dan Campbell, how physical a football team he's made them. On both lines. O-line, look at the holes they were opening up for Montgomery. The O-line, just as impressive.
Yeah. That play of the goal line, bro, with a Mon-Ra handoff pitch back.
Oh, yeah, the pitch back. That looked like some Ben Johnson stuff, but they could have stuffed it right down their throat.
Y'all trying to give Ben Johnson credit for everything.
Montgomery was getting through those lanes untouched because
yeah,
the line,
he
Panay
was.
And those guys are opening up these huge holes for him.
And I will say, Adam Chernoff turned me on to this several years ago. A nose tackle is arguably the most important position on the field sometimes, and they didn't have theirs last night in Matabuke, who's a two-time Pro Bowler. So I think if he's in there, maybe those holes don't open up as easily.
100%.
That should be said.
Lions ran all over.
But they still did, you know, win the game. They still did establish a run. And, you know,
204 touchdowns.
Baltimore's going to have to save their season on the road in Arrowhead. Pretty damn tough to do because the Chiefs are trying to get right too now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 1-2.
They don't look right. When you talk about the Giants had a chance.
Yeah.
That's with the Russell Wilson.
Baltimore is a 2.5-point favorite. So, I mean, that kind of gives you an idea of how.
How do you feel better about Baltimore than you do the Chiefs? I do.
Well, because the Ravens are more whole.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And is Derrick Henry going to really fumble every damn time? He now has 3 fumbles this season.
The way he responded to this one, sort of falling on the bench and throwing his. It looked like a kid that just can't understand why this keeps happening to him.
Yeah.
Why he keeps misbehaving.
Yeah. He almost threw a pick, too.
That
throw was ridiculous, man. Throw it away. If they're from the 10, usually they only run that play at like the 1 or something, and it's just a jump pass. They threw that. It was way too far out.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with D. Henry and the fumbles, but it's an issue.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I think I agree with you fundamentally that it was more about the Ravens than it was the Lions than it was about the Ravens. I don't think anything is fundamentally broken about the Ravens. I think they're down a couple guys defensively. I think we underrated the Lions this year, and you know they're kind of reminding people, hey, because that's where Dan Campbell games like last night. That's where he's going to be at his absolute best, bro. You know he had them dudes in the rockers. Hey, whoa, wait a minute, were we not just the 1 seed in the NFC last year? I know we lost some coaches, but did we lose anybody in this locker room?
Number two, a lot of those guys were there 2 years ago. They got their head cut off in Baltimore, lost like 38-6.
Yeah.
I want to tell you they put up the same number. They put the 38 back up on them last night.
I just gave you the Dan Campbell pregame speech.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I guarantee, They made us the underdogs. Mm-hmm. They think because we lose a couple of coaches that we're all of a sudden this rat team that yep. we have no – the world says we have no chance.
Put this speech on repeat.
Amon-Ra St. Brown told you. Hot mic, Amon. Did you hear it?
No.
Oh, man, I can't.
Oh, I heard it after that touchdown. That tutty, he got a little – yeah, he said a couple choice words.
As a white man, I cannot say it.
Yeah. Wow. After the tutty, and well, he's looking sort of by the camera on that on the right side of that touchdown.
What we learned, and I didn't know this, is Amon-Ra is half white.
He's a high half white, yes.
His mom's German. He speaks fluent German.
You learned that last night? German.
Yeah, the feature.
Almost. Now, see, that's that for you. I'm disappointed.
I think it was in the Hard Knocks. I saw that maybe, and I
thought I thought you all you knew every mixed person ever.
No, I don't know every mixed person ever. It's possible. There's more and more of us every day.
Yeah, that is true.
Was Dad the boxer?
A lot of race mixing.
Not sure.
I think he was a boxer. Yeah,
there's something. I think you're right about that. That's just my mom. Yeah. Is from Germany.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
His grandparents were straight.
I did know
she
was
made mixed. Him learn German so that he could speak to his grandparents who could only speak German.
But he did drop the N-bomb though. On he said, I run this bleep bleep. Into the
certain ain't what he says to the little white German kids when over there.
No.
Well, and that's the beauty of it, right?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
He really did. He had the whole German accent going. I mean, he came in there like it was like, 19.
Hello.
Anyway.
Ravens defense, by the way, looked like a slaw-ass night for them.
Everybody's defense kind of sucks these days, though, except the Browns.
John hit it. They had a couple guys out that are reporting them.
Yes. The
Browns don't allow first downs on 50% of series, bro.
The Browns have a Super Bowl caliber defense that's being wasted the last couple of years.
It is.
They thought Deshaun would be able to take advantage of it, and unfortunately, it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
It can get you wins against Green Bay.
Yes.
Yeah. It can't get you the player because it's a joke on offense.
Around the NFL, like I said, I didn't talk about the NFL yesterday because it was all Memphis football. Beat of the year, I don't think it will be topped. Maybe there will be a total but I don't know that there will be a worse beat of the year than what happened to the Rams. That is as disgusting as it gets. They're winning by, I think, double digits in the fourth quarter. And they're plus 3.5 underdogs. They are going for the win. Down one or two? I don't remember exactly what they were. I think they were down one, and they were going for the win. The kick gets blocked, and the Eagles return it for a touchdown with no time remaining. Absolutely sickening. If you had Rams, I was fortunate in that I did not have it. I did not want any part of that. I don't want to fade the Eagles ever. Mm-hmm. I think they have like some things going on. With spiritually, I don't want to fade them. I don't want to fade the Eagles, bro. I'm not saying I bet them every game, but I'm not going to fade them ever. Like, there was a team I was doing that with. Oh, it was the Huskies, bro. It was the UConn Huskies on their tournament run. I'm like, I'm not betting them every game, but I'm not fading them ever. They're just destroyers of worlds, man. All right? Like, you just can't do it. You got to stay away. That's the Eagles for me. I did bet them this week, by the way. -3 on the road at Tampa.
Rams were down one.
They were down one,
27-26.
Yeah, right. And then they end up, my guy Jordan Davis, people are like, go down. Why would you go down, bro? He's got the lane. He's a big man. He's getting in that end zone, man.
There were a ton of blocks, field goal blocks.
Yes.
All over the league.
Yes, there were. Your Bears, awesome. I mean, career day for Caleb Williams.
So much of that, again,
yes.
I feel like is about how bad Dallas's defense is, especially when they're giving up 450 to Russell Wilson the previous week.
I would agree with that.
So, it was a good sign for Caleb. I mean, what are we talking about? It's like water in the desert for us Bears fans that are waiting on a quarterback and just to see some good play.
Yep.
I mean, he didn't get sacked. It's the first time in his 20 games he wasn't sacked.
Yeah.
Then you throw no interceptions, the four touchdowns. He's getting it out of there.
Yeah.
But it's Dallas.
Yeah.
So you need to see it again. We need to see it against the Raiders. We need to see it, the continued steps.
Yeah, about that. You'll see that. We are truly as bad as I thought we were.
Well, this has turned into a garbage game. A battle of 2-1-2s this week in Vegas.
I mean, I think we're a bottom five team.
We live on the same street in the same neighborhood now. You were feeling real uppity on 1-0 Street.
Yeah, I was.
Talking down to me and mine.
What a bad loss for Vrabel at home. I mean, my God. I'm saying to lose to the Raiders.
Tell me about it.
Like, what the hell happened?
Dude, they've he's got so much to get cleaned up still with the Pats.
So much government bloat.
Yeah.
We need Doge.
They outplayed. They should have won. They outplayed this past week. Had too many fumbles and everything.
Yeah. Against the Steelers. Yeah, they should have won.
They should have won again.
Sure.
They outplayed the Steelers.
They did. They sure did. Yeah, no, I mean, I
got a lot to clean up.
But I think the Raiders get absolutely destroyed by Mariota. I mean, like that. There,
who you call the sorriest ever, but he's not. He's still the leader of men.
He was emotional after that game. I bet the Commanders in that game. I'm not stupid. See, like you're like, how can you bet them? Because they suck. That's why this team sucks. I don't know what happened. Well, Geno actually had a decent game, believe it or not. He had 3 touchdowns. But I don't know. Our defense isn't good. Max is like kind of being wasted. We should trade Max.
You have no run game.
We have no run game.
You have no run blocking.
No run blocking. They're reconfiguring the offensive line this week. Pete's like Joe Biden with the auto pin. I mean, this is just mailing in at this point. Like,
what's the number this week? I hadn't looked yet.
Pick.
Wow. Two garbage cans going at each other. Just pick one.
There's no way I would bet on the Raiders here. There's no way.
Dude, we don't have any corners.
Neither do we.
This is going to be Geno's best game of the year, possibly.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be.
He's not going to be Dak and just be dinking and dunking. Now, Dak did lose CD, so that hurt.
Yeah,
that hurt some things.
That was huge. That was huge.
But
changed the entire game. When you
Geno
when
ain't no
down.
Dinker and dunker. Sometimes, but this year, he's been too aggressive.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's going to be a high-scoring affair, bro.
That it will. That it certainly will.
We don't have any defense.
But I'm not looking forward to it at any point. I'm not looking forward to any part of this season. And the worst part is there's nobody to tank for. Like, who am I tanking to get? Give me that edge rusher from Miami. Bane.
Oh, he's a difference maker.
See, he might be the number one pick. Because, I mean, what quarterback you drafting first? Nussmeier? I mean, I guess, man. This kid from Indiana, everybody's...
Not Beck after this last game.
No, bro. Beck sucked this
went
game.
Went back to missing throws again.
Yeah, he didn't make a single throw. I was really disappointed. And I was on Miami. I'm like, dude, can you get your act together? Yeah. Like, you guys should be up by a billion.
It was a nasty night.
Yes.
Weather-wise. But
yeah,
he was missing throws. He had no business missing. It's like, dude, I thought you'd pass this. I thought you'd elevate it.
Absolutely.
Miami loaded, though.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think what else... What else from the weekend that stuck out? Rams beat, Raiders stink, Caleb's best career game. I think that was mostly – I mean, there were some weird blocks.
I still think the Rams are good.
I agree.
I have been so impressed by the way San Francisco just finds ways to win as injured as they are.
Yes.
And they lost Bosa additionally.
Yep.
That's how they've done this now with backup quarterbacks and everything else has been very impressive.
Yes, it has. And it's going to be
they
tough
can
to
sustain
continue.
It.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's going to be real
I
tough.
Still think I like the Rams best in that division, but I've been very impressed by what Shanahan's pulled off here.
Oh, no. I mean, the revelation is just the Colts, bro. Like, what is that? Like,
it's Steichen.
It's like, okay, it's Steichen, and it's Anthony Richardson, bro. Like, Anthony Richardson is, he's awful.
Well, and Daniel has always turned the ball over. He's not doing it anymore.
It is exactly
so that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah.
Because that's always been the MO on Daniel Jones and why. Frankly, you know, after getting the contract with the Giants, they were ready to move on because of his turnover issues. Fumbling, throwing picks.
Yep.
He's not doing that this year.
Nah, he's playing the football that New York Giants fans always wanted him to play.
It's the football that got him the contract.
Under control, manage the game, make plays, but he's doing it. Titans
and they got a run game, which is helping him.
Yes. There's no doubt. And you know, he should have had it in New York with Saquon, but for whatever reason the offensive line didn't do its job. Titans did announce after this loss this morning that Callahan's not fired, but he's relinquished passing game duties to the Bo Hardiger. I think
precursor.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the OC or quarterback's coach. But
being fired.
Yeah, there's no doubt he's not. We said that last week. He's not the guy. Or 2 weeks ago.
It's dangerous to have a bad plan around your number one pick.
Agreed.
Your number one quarterback.
You don't really have a choice. Like, I mean, it's...
Now, who's the guy? Who's the next Ben Johnson? Who are we saying?
Because
when you have Cam Ward, you can't go get a defensive...
Yeah. I wonder if Kingsbury gets another shot.
Oh, that's a good call.
I mean, he's doing it with the Commanders, right?
Oh, he's absolutely on his way to being recycled. Now, I guess if it fell off for them, maybe he falls behind some folks, he will definitely get interviews again.
Yeah, I think he'd be a guy.
That's a good call.
That off the top of my head.
Joe Brady. Is he in Buffalo now?
Yep, Brady.
Yeah, he's gonna get calls.
It's defensive, so I don't know if they would go this route. But Chargers DC, mm-hmm. Jesse Minter, he'd get a look. So, I think those are probably the guys that you're starting with.
But you and I think like a Caleb Williams, you're gonna go get the hot OC guy, as opposed to a defensive guy in Tennessee.
Yes.
That's what you got to do.
You have a number one pick.
Somebody's got a plan for Cam Ward.
It'll be Brady or Kingsbury.
100%.
I would put a lot of money on that.
Well, and you'd say with what Kingsbury did with Jaden Daniels that first year, you really like what you saw.
Perfect, yeah. And you got some pieces defensively with Simmons.
His team's always nosedive, though. That's the one thing is he's got some. His Arizona teams.
No,
they start strong and take a.
But I would just say that's Kyler. That's what I would say if I was. I blame it on Kyler Murray because what has Kyler Murray done without him? Nothing.
They've had their chance.
Yeah. So
to prove.
Anyway, we'll talk to Frank Bonner, get his thoughts on this Memphis football team. Frank the Tank Bonner going to join us in studio. The path to playoff. Chances for Memphis football and more on the other side. Stick around. Jason DeJohn, I'm trying to find ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Yes, Frank Bonner covers the Memphis football program for the Daily Memphian. And he is here with us in studio because we feel like the occasion calls for it. Special season, special occasion. Frank Bonner in studio. Thanks for being here, man. How are we feeling?
I'm good. I'm all for it. Like I said, I was wondering when I was going to get the in-studio treatment, so I'm loving it.
It wasn't like we were not giving you the in-studio treatment. You know, we were just considerate of your time. You know, it's a haul up here, you know? So, and we don't necessarily like to show off the digs to anybody and everybody. You know, this is a very special, exclusive club.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm a part of that
club.
It's
like a Putin's bunker, you know? you can't, and not anybody can just see this, all right? I mean, you don't talk about what it looks like when you leave.
I've got a story pre-written already.
All right. Memphis football does what few people believe they would do, and they beat Arkansas as 7.5-point underdogs in dramatic fashion. What does it mean?
It's huge for the brand, obviously. Another power conference, another SEC win. It puts you in the national limelight. I mean, everybody's talking about Memphis right now. But if you truly want it to mean something, you have to finish the job, win the conference. And the conference is doing its part. What is it, 6 power conference wins right now?
Yeah, so they've been amazing.
The path is clear for the American champion to be in the playoff. You just have to finish the job. So when you look back at the Arkansas win,
yes,
it could be in the same way that people are looking at the Ole Miss win back in 2019. And
yes.
So
yeah, because I was making this point to Jason. I literally was looking at tweets. We were having the same conversations after they beat Florida State. Man, great job by Jordan Hankins. Inside track to playoff. All those things. We were saying the same exact things. And then it wasn't a bad year. I mean, they won 11 games, but they didn't make the playoff. You know, so I think this actually is a good thing for Silverfield to tell that team, it's like, hey, we already went through this, we've done this before, and we've come up short. So don't get to thinking that just because we did this that it means or guarantees anything, because it doesn't.
And I also think that it helps helps in the mindset that you also have a South Florida team that has already done what you did in beating Florida, in beating a Boise team that was ranked 25 preseason, and so you still have them on your schedule.
Yep.
So you can't look at Arkansas and feel like you've arrived when you still have those teams. Now you get them at home, mm-hmm. but you still got to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bracey forces the fumble, miracle fumble. Tigers salted out going to get the win. But in terms of thing you were, you know, whether it's individual performance or performance by a side of the ball, what you were most impressed with the win for Memphis?
the way that they were able to make Taylen Green uncomfortable. I mean, he had 53 rushing yards. He came into the game leading the country in total offense, averaging 102 rushing yards per game, and then you were able to limit his dual threat ability, which allowed certain plays in the secondary to be made. And so I think that's the biggest takeaway that I took away.
I'm glad you went there, because it was something I was talking about with John there early in the show. Jordan Hankins, year two now, but still, and you know, like a pretty new cast. But I looked at the SP Plus rankings. They were 80 last year, up from 100 and something the year before, and now up to 50. It just looks like a continued improvement, even with a new cast under your second year defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. If you go back and look at that first half against Georgia State,
yes,
I was worried about what that meant for this Arkansas game.
Absolutely.
And so when you see them be able to bounce back from a half like that, and obviously against Troy, Troy's QB went out early, so you really didn't know what you had in
that
game.
Still didn't know, really.
And so now this was the first game where you can really look and see what can you expect from this defense, and they answered the call.
Yeah, they truly did. And the other thing we were just going through is, like, last year, maybe we weren't saying this, maybe we were, I don't know, but, like, the road games against Navy and UTSA, like, you don't even really have those this year. Because, like, you're going to be – I mean, you were 8-9-point favorites against Navy. You were 7.5 against UTSA. I think the smallest spread you're going to see here in these games, FAU, Rice.
I mean – You got UAB.
UAB. The smallest you're going to see is probably 13.5. I mean, it's a much different caliber of team you're seeing on the road. Like, at least Navy has that triple option that, you know, Memphis has struggled with. UTSA, we know, like, they were one of the better teams in the league to start the year. You don't have to see those teams on the road this year.
And you see Navy late. I think when you see Navy early in the year, you're getting a different version of them than you get.
They're fresher.
That's a good call.
And so you're,
because they did fade late.
Yeah, and so you're going to get a team that attrition is going to set in.
Yep.
And you get them at home.
Yep.
And then, you know, what Drew Kronick was doing with that Navy offense, people hadn't really seen Navy. You know, they were doing some different stuff.
Caught everybody off guard.
And so they
were throwing so much more than they ever had.
And they're not catching anybody off guard now because you already know what to expect. And so I think.
Yeah, what kind of year is Horvath having?
I mean, he's doing his thing for Navy. I don't know stat wise, but he's being Blake Horvath.
Yeah, he is being Blake Horvath.
Yeah, like he's doing. Yeah. I mean, they're not. Don't get me wrong. They're not a bad team. They're still doing what people expected them to do. I just think that Memphis is going to catch them at the most opportune time.
Yeah, they had so against UAB. He had 168 yards passing. 72 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns on the ground. And then against Tulsa, he had 159 yards rushing. So he's basically doing the same thing.
He's doing the same thing. It's just,
and Navy's 3-0.
But you're going to be ready for it.
That's right. And they're going to probably be hurt and banged up and injured because they run the ball a billion times a game, you know, and they're not that big by the time you see them. I mean, that's the way it goes.
And you can make the same – Well, you can wonder about the same argument with USF because we know Byron Brown, the way he runs the ball, is he going to continue to stay healthy? And so we'll see how healthy he is going into that game in October.
Educate me on this. I want your view. You know, John's pointed out too. I was watching that game against Arkansas on television, and all, you know, they keep saying, well, ESPN's actually analytically, they've got Memphis as the favorite right now, the group of five schools to go to the college football playoff, which would obviously mean winning the conference, going on doing that to get there. But John tells me, too, there's another side where Vegas has still got Memphis as the third, has got the third best odds to win the conference, so not even among the top two. So I'm curious as to if you look at the two lanes and the South Floridas and what they've got ahead, and we know what Memphis has on the schedule, how would you sort of handicap their chances now of winning the conference based on what they've got, and then you look at sort of what the two lanes in South Florida's have got?
I still think, and I don't want to rain on the parade, but I still think USF is the team to beat.
I'm with you. I've watched what they've done. I was just super impressed by what Memphis did against Arkansas, but I'm still with you that South Florida feels like the team to beat.
And I do think that Memphis's schedule is a little bit more difficult than South Florida's conference-wise. And so when you throw those two things in there, I think I would still put South Florida above Memphis if you're asking me today.
Would you put Tulane above Memphis, seeing that Tulane doesn't have to play? It's South Florida and Navy. They don't play, right, John? They just have to come here.
Right.
So that's what I'm at. Would you, is the right place, I guess, where Vegas has them below Tulane too, or are we keeping them right underneath South Florida in terms of what we've seen?
Schedule-wise, I agree with you in terms of Tulane.
On Tulane's schedule.
Above.
There's an advantage.
But the way that Tulane got blasted,
and then
Memphis being able to beat Arkansas, I would move Memphis above Tulane, even though that Memphis does have a tougher schedule. Because at the end of the day, you get Tulane at home.
Those are here.
So you get to decide if you're above Tulane or not.
I like it.
Yeah, that is 100%.
I like it thinking.
That is 100% true. Biggest play of the game was there was the fumble, but then there was the Arrington Maiden 3rd-and-8 design run. You think about a future, right? You think about a future for Memphis football, and I know we have a lot more season left to play here, but Brendan Lewis is only going to be here for a year. And their plan, we've talked about their plans with quarterback and how sort of intriguing they are. Antoine Hill, A.J. Hill, like, we ain't seen him. We haven't seen him yet. So it does it feel like they're kind of grooming Arrington Maiden to be the heir here? I mean, like, what sort of is their plan for that future?
So, you know, I thought about that because I think in one of our Tiger Talks over the Daily Memphian, we talked about, and I said, when it comes to be time to put in the other guy, that would give you your answer. I don't know if this situation is that moment, because if you know it's a run situation, you're choosing Arrington Maiden. Yeah,
there's no choice
over A.J. Hill because of the situation. So I don't know if that necessarily shows their hand on who they have as above, just because from a skill set standpoint, Arrington Maiden was the clear.
Well, it shows that that they trust him in that moment to handle the ball and take it himself. I guess he audibled. I guess that was the other thing. It's like he went in there and changed the play of the line of scrimmage and called his own damn number.
Well, it was basically like it's one of those where, you know, everybody runs the RPOs, whatever. So it was a read to, you know, hand it off.
And they trusted him enough to read. I mean, I think it shows at least something.
Yeah, I do think that it shows that.
Now, he's been in the program, so maybe he's supposed to have an advantage there. But
I don't think you're off base and wondering what that means.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think you're off base and us wondering if that means that Arrington Maiden is taking a step ahead. I just don't know if that one play answers that, but it does.
I think it's the first window into their thinking that we've, you know, it might be a little glimmer, but I think it's at least it's as good as we're going to get from Silverfield, because it's actually like on the field. You know, it's not like we're not asking him at a press conference, hey, what about blah, blah, blah. It's like they put him in there in the most important moment of the game, arguably, at that point.
Because, you know, Brendan Lewis, his helmet came off. But if you really wanted him back on the field, you could have called a timeout.
Okay, you could have called a timeout and put him back
in
there.
If you really didn't trust having Arrington out there, there was a scenario where you could have gotten Brendan back on the field.
Well, I do think I didn't know that was a rule. I thought you had to run a play.
Well, if you call a timeout, that's essentially
okay.
Like, because you're burning a timeout
right,
an injury or whatever you want to call it. Like, you're burning the timeout to getting back on.
Well, I think he should have called a timeout. It worked out, but I think he should have called a timeout to get Brendan Lewis back in there on the third down. Because, like, there's a universe where he does need the third down, and they have to punt it, and they go down, they lose, and you're like, oh, man, you didn't have Brendan Lewis in there.
To his point, with the way Brendan was running the ball.
I mean, it worked out, so it doesn't matter. I'm just saying I would have used a timeout.
Yeah, because, I mean. And
like, why the hell would you not use a timeout?
And I don't know if your listeners want to fact check me on that, but I'm pretty sure that you can call.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
That you can.
I think so, too. Yeah,
right.
I'm with you, yeah.
I'm saying if Silverfield should call a timeout. Like it worked out for him, but he should have called a timeout and gotten his starting quarterback in that 3rd-and-8, bro. Like, it's crazy.
And here's the thing about, like, this is the whole cliche, this is why you play the game, this is why you do on the field. Because there are a lot of situations where you wonder, and I asked Silverfield this after the game, did you think about letting Arkansas score? And obviously it worked out because you got the fumble.
Yes.
You didn't know that fumble was going to happen.
Yes.
I mean, you know, but they got the win. It worked out in their favor.
Well, and look, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, right? Like in that offensive series, a guy could fumble. There could be a hold. There could be a missed kick. Like, there are some options for you, right? But, like, it just feels like the what happened with Arrington Maiden on 3rd-and-8 was like a 1% play, you know? Like, it was the fact that that guy carried the 400-pound, I mean, it's just – again, it worked out, and it's a great moment, and it really is. It's a great moment for that program, and we'll remember that run for a long, long time. But I would have called the timeout. So, I don't know. It worked out, but You know,
I think it goes back to the trust. Like,
yeah,
they clearly trusted. Yeah. I mean, Arrington Main is not a small guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they trust their
well,
guy.
And I think they didn't expect to get it. Is the other part? Yeah. It's like they're like, you know, hey, like we're just trying to make them use a timeout. We're gonna have to get a stop defensively. Because like it's 3rd and 8. You didn't call a run. You didn't call a pass play. You know, you called a quarterback run. You're just trying to move move it up, get a little room for your punter, and boom one with them having no timeouts and trust your defense that have been playing really 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 freaking well. Otherwise, you'd have just you called a timeout, let Brandon Lewis drop back there, maybe even call a pass play. You know, at that point, I think it was more valuable to get the first down than it is for them to just call a 3-yard play and use a timeout.
But if we're looking at what this means for the rest of the year, like you're going to have some of those plays that work out in your favor.
Yes.
Like you're going to be in those situations. It may be a similar situation against Tulane or USF where you as a coaching staff and as a collection of talent and players, you're going to have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And they figured it out, no matter what it looked like.
Yes. Has Brendan Lewis outplayed your expectations, our expectations of him going into the season, or has he been about what we thought he could be?
I think he's been about what we thought he could be because we all knew what he was as a runner. Mm-hmm. We had some questions as a passer, and I don't know if all of those questions
have
been
questions
answered
of him
yet,
as a
right?
passer, no question.
If you look at the first half against Arkansas, he was 8 for 21. Now, Silverfield pointed out that some of those incompletions were good decisions to throw the ball away or whatever, but you still want to see a little bit more from, at least I do, a little bit more from him as a passer.
Yeah.
So I think he hasn't underperformed in any way, but to see if he exceeded my expectations, not just yet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to nitpick, you know, but he's got limitations. He just does. He's not a great deep thrower at all.
But he might be a gamer.
But he could be that.
That's what it feels.
It could be that.
That's kind of
no. That's that. That to me was right? like where you probably
and in
start.
The AAC.
Yeah,
that's if you got a decent defense, a good deep, maybe the best defense in the league, maybe with the numbers, maybe that's good enough.
Because I don't think this offense doesn't need a Peyton Manning caliber QB to win
100%.
Games, right?
And it's the run game that you're feeding on.
Yeah, and can you make like that play at the end of the first half?
Yep.
Can you make that play when you're down 18? And he did.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know.
Made that throw.
I know people were wondering if it was a push-off with Cortez.
Well, it was. It wasn't called.
And at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah,
doesn't
you know.
Made a play.
Yeah. Right, you made a play. You went to your guy who you have the relationship with.
That's right.
That's what you need from him.
Yes.
He can be 0-5 or whatever, but when we need you to make a pass, can you do it?
No, totally. I think that like, if we were, like, sort of writing down, like, what Brendan Lewis is, gamer is probably the first thing I'm saying.
Well, I think bringing in Cortez raised that ceiling as a passer just because of the trust, like you talked about, and because he can make plays for you. That late addition, bringing in it's Cortez
Bram.
Mm-hmm.
And he settled in, too. I mean, you know, I didn't expect him to, but he was definitely jittery at the beginning of the game. He was missing throws. Like, they were pretty easy, right? They weren't, like, crazy throws. It was like, you know, they had the tight end Ross. He like, sailed that one. But as the game went on, he definitely got way more comfortable in that pocket, you know, which I thought was very interesting.
Well, he completed his first 6 passes coming out of halftime.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, he was ready to go.
That drive, he came out, and, you know, they ended up double-dipping. They got a field goal, right? Or no, I don't remember what happened.
You mean the first drive?
Yeah.
No, the first drive, they didn't.
They had a punt.
They didn't walk away any points. But you saw the rhythm
in
Brendan.
Yeah, no question.
And so that's what you wanted to see, whether they came away with points or not.
Right.
I was just going to ask you, we'd been asking you leading up into the game about Greg DeRozier, we saw him out there, but just his status. I'd heard that he even said after the game he was feeling it in terms of the injury, just in terms of his availability going forward. What's Ryan said?
They anticipate that he's going to be available. Like, they anticipate that he's going to be, you know, back to standard form.
Reincorporate,
close to standard form. But I do want to say this, and Kramsey said it today, that, like, you know, Sutton, people don't forget about how good Sutton was supposed to be last year, right? Like, we remember how good Mario Anderson was.
Yep.
Well, Sutton started in that season opener. He started above Mario Anderson. So now you have a healthy Sutton. That guy is who he was supposed to be. And Kramsey said that it's his time. You know, he waited behind guys like Blake Watson and so on. And so this is his time. And then you throw in a Greg DeRozier in there, assuming that he's fully healthy. And this run game is dangerous, which is why you would prefer a gamer at QB necessarily than just some prolific pass.
I'm so glad you said that, because Sutton ran well against a defense that actually had been good against the run against Ole Miss. Like, that's the one thing they had done. I think Ole Miss averaged 3.3 a carry. So for Sutton and that offensive line to have that kind of success, I know nobody's lauding Arkansas's defense, but it had been decent against the run against Ole Miss. Says a lot about your run game, about Sutton being ready, but also about them holes that O-line's opening up.
Yeah, right. And so if they can continue to do what they did, and kudos to Chris Adams, you know, obviously he got hurt and he came back and did his thing. So I do think there's a lot to be excited about this team in terms of their future for the season.
Yeah, could not agree more. Frank Bonner covers the Memphis football program for the Daily Memphian. Make sure you follow him there. Thanks, as always, for coming in, man.
Pleasure, brother.
Anytime.
Yeah, we're going to make it happen for sure. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, 90.5 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.